To welcome you all to the ordinary council meeting of the Lachlan Shire on the 24th of March 2020. And
21
it is too. We're doing the budget for 21-22. And I would like to, Dennis, welcome back, Matt. I'm pleased to see you upright.
I am upright.
And back with us and hope it all goes well. Doesn't reoccur again. And that's really down the track. And it's just exciting. We've got all the councils here today. It's absolutely terrific.
Full house.
Full house. And also, I think we might take advantage of that. We might take a photo. Don't you take your head?
I didn't bring a tie.
Do your hair. That'll be fine.
We get one today, John. We can always get a better one later on when everybody turns up.
Oh, and you're a myth.
Yeah, at least we've got one. We don't want to see the board out there with nobody up for this term.
I see what we can do with a photo these days. Find that we'll have a bit of, I think, as Paula called, half time, and we might try and organise that.
Right. We'll be going.
And I'm just reminding you that Easter's next week, and daylight saving finishes then too, so which is
hoorah
Easter. I think everybody will be pretty happy about that, and a pretty important event happening on Saturday too.
Easter's race Friday.
The races. That's
hopefully it doesn't get washed out again.
I think it might be pretty safe this time.
Never know.
Pretty safe this time last year too.
Yesterday was
worried about it.
The South Falls Road or the River Road to Forbes for the opening of the Bird in the Hand from the another one of the sculptures, and apparently they cancelled yesterday because it was wet, but they did do it this morning, and I see there's a media release come out about that, which is good. I had a look at it yesterday. I had to go to Forbes. And unbelievable, actually, how that man had the patience to weld all those bits of chain together. and just also, Greg is on leave as from Friday night, but he's going down to Sydney tomorrow or this afternoon for a general manager's conference on Thursday and Friday. And then he's got the week off next week. And Adrian Milne is going to be the man in charge. So you know who to ring. So don't give him a hard time.
Red phone, is he?
The bat phone.
Straight up. All right, now I'd like to ask Councillor Bendall if you would like to do the acknowledgement to our country and its elders.
Thank you. I would like to pay my respects and acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we gather. I pay respect to elders both past and present and extend that respect to other Aboriginal people, Torres Strait Islander people, here today.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Bendall. Reading this out, apologies and requests for leave of absence. It looks like we've got no apologies. Full house. And if any requests for leave next month or what's the next council meeting? If there's none, we'll move along. Would someone like to, for the confirmation of the minister, would someone like to move that's a true and correct recording of that particular meeting? The 24th of February 2021.
Yep.
That's for all, Councillor Harris.
Mr. Mayor, can I just make one request? I requested to be a absence for that meeting because I couldn't get it. And it wasn't recorded as an appointment.
We did ask.
I think you're right too. And I think the mover and seconder are quite happy to include that.
Yeah, we certainly moved that at the meeting.
Yeah.
No, just wasn't in the bin.
Included, you couldn't miss your name, yeah.
Right, all those in favour? Against?
Yep.
Yes. Right, here we go to page
number item. Yes, apology from Dennis Brady there, we are.
Councillor Carter, we accepted.
Was it on the right way, Red, right?
Yeah.
The apology is Dennis Brady and David Carter be accepted.
Fair, is it?
Yep.
Yep.
Resolution.
Yep.
A little further down the page.
Oh, okay.
And before I do go any further, I'd like to let you know that the meeting has been recorded. With the code of meeting practice, please be aware that this meeting has been recorded and will be made publicly available on the council website. All attendees should refrain from making any defamatory statements. Thank you. Be nice to each other. Now to page 21. Number four, mayoral minute, meetings and functions attended by the mayor and deputy mayor. And just before we do go any further with that, on the attachments there, I'm not sure whether there is a bit of a misunderstanding because I see here the deputy mayor has made a list of all the things he's done around
That was a request from Councillor Mark Hall. I particularly didn't want to do it. I think it's trivial and a waste of time and everybody's time. Mark can ask why he wanted my duties recorded. I don't know, but they're there for anybody that wants to see them. And that's only half what I do during the month.
I think we did. I did have a talk to Mark Hall.
Good.
I think there might have been just a misunderstanding in the fact that because we had quite a list last meeting, and because it was over 2 months, and he just wanted to know which ones you'd actually.
I have no problem with that. If you want them recorded, I can certainly do that.
But it does say meetings and functions attended by the mayor and deputy mayor, and also if the mayor can't do it, there's a delegation. If the deputy mayor can't do it, if someone else has to do it, we will make a recording of that. Because it's a delegation from the council. All righty.
Mr. Mayor, I don't think you're at the bird in the hand this morning because I saw you in here.
Well, I did call in.
Yesterday.
I did call in.
Yesterday.
Stay with me.
I saw you. I'll see that.
We'll just make a note.
Now and now, emails, there's a couple of Paul and Deborah went over to it apparently.
Today?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yep, that's right. You're right. All right, we'll just make a note that we weren't there.
You weren't there.
Didn't care, whatever. Would someone like to move to those meetings?
Move, John.
Yep, Councillor Phillips, seconder.
Yes.
Councillor Wood. All those in favour?
All right.
Carried. All right, down to page 23, the mayoral minute for March. Would someone like to move that be received and noted?
Moved.
Councillor Bendall, seconded.
Please.
Right, no questions on the Merrill Minute. Won't say any more about it. All those in favour?
Aye.
Those against, carried. Number five on page 24, public forum. We got anyone in public forum?
No.
None? All right, moving along to now number six, which is disclosure of interest. Anyone got any disclosure of interest in any particular part of this business paper? None.
I'm not sure. I'll make it.
No.
It's to do with the 9.8 under the Environment, Tourism and Economic Development section, the Railway Hotel, landowner's consent request for development application. Just friend of the family.
That's insignificant. Pecuniary interest. I'd like to record that.
Sorry?
Which is just like a...
Insignificant.
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 Just recorded that way. So yeah. Nobody else got anything in the business paper? Right. Before I go any further, I think down the back we've got a new member of the staff, Pat Barrett. And Pat is, what was he again?
Manager of Urban Works.
Manager of Urban Works, Pat.
He's Adrian's
replacement. Replacing what Adrian was doing, and so he's now under Adrian and Lachlanshire. Hope you enjoy your stay. We're pretty happy people around here. If you can help in any way, make you more welcome. Enjoy your time here. Thank you.
Welcome.
Yep. Right, moving along now to page 25, General Manager Report. The Murray-Darling Association National Conference and AGM. Would someone like to move that report?
Move, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Harris, seconded Councillor Phillips. All right, any questions? I think
Lisa, question.
Who was that?
I'm good. Lisa.
Lisa.
Good. I found it.
I'd like to nominate.
Can we have to get nominated?
Yeah, we've got to get nominations, yep. Who would like to, it's in, what's it, May, isn't it?
In May.
16th, 19th.
9th of May, and I think Council Hall would like to go. Anyone else would like to go down? I said I'd be happy to go too. If nobody else would like to go.
You're in.
Well, I've been into before, John. If no one wants to go, I'll go.
If I run into a corner, I'll talk to you. Right, so we've got two delegates then going down, Council Hall and myself.
Is the GM coming?
Is that? Like Greg, yeah, I think Greg's going to try and fit into his tight schedule. No, we've got that. There's no other comments on the NDBA. All those in favour?
Aye.
All right. It's carried. Now, moving along to page 44, 7.2, remote attendance by councillors at council meetings. Would someone like to move that report, please?
I move it.
Councillor Hall, Councillor Carter.
Councillor Carter.
Do you want to say something about this, Greg? Or?
Just if council wished to make a submission, I don't see any issues at the moment with the proposal. There are some restrictions about when councillors will be able to attend remotely and the reasons for being able to attend remotely, but we're not going to be able to change those conditions. It'll just be a matter of us adopting it in the model code of meeting practice once the ones are released.
Yeah, and also it's a trial.
Yeah.
It's a trial until the 31st of December.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So yeah, we don't have any problems technologically with doing so?
No, I've checked with the information technology manager and we have all the equipment. The only thing we need to do is to mount a camera somewhere, which will probably be on a wall behind Paula to get a shot of the room, and we'll project the image of the councillor who's dialing in remotely onto the screen.
Well, happy with that. Any more questions?
That's a good idea.
I think it's going to work pretty well. And I think with the technology and that sort of thing is happening, especially for the size of our shire and that sort of thing, we'll be able to do a lot of the committee meetings and whatever, which I think will be a great thing. But all those in favour?
Aye. Right.
As against, it's carried. Out to page 55, classification of land, 7 Hay Street, Condoblin. Someone would like to move that?
I move, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Harris, second that. Second that. Councillor Blewett. Questions on that? Classification, there's not. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against, carried. Moving on to page 58, delivery program and operational plan status update for the 31st of 2020. Someone like to move that report, please?
So I move.
Councillor Harris, Councillor Rees. Some questions there, is there on this delivery program? Going on.
If I can make a comment.
You certainly can, because it looks like we're not getting too many.
I got a laptop.
I just want to make one comment, and I'm sorry that I can't tell you the page number, but I know that it's in here. The advocation for improved health services, fellow dialysis, I just wanted to let you know that we provided information to the local government's New South Wales submission to the parliamentary inquiry on rural health services, and the examples we provided were dialysis as the difficulty and patient transport and the cost of providing medical facilities for doctors in rural areas and how much we spend on surgeries and housing, and our examples were used in the submission that went to Parliament.
All right, any questions on that?
Can I ask a couple of questions?
Yeah, press your button, Matt, please.
Where? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that. Okay.
Thanks, Dennis.
Okay, 134 TAFE on page 64. You got down, which is quite good, all those things that a TAFE can do. But one big problem we do seem to have in our local area is literacy. And I don't see that as part of one of the courses. And I know we used to have quite a problem with literacy on our outside staff. So can that also be added into those TAFE courses? Because I do know they advertise, reading, writing, and whatever they call it. But, okay.
Yeah, TAFE are delivering their programs on a needs basis. And if there is a need, they will bring it. We probably need to do a review of the literacy levels of some of our staff to see if there's something we need to operate internally as well. I think it's probably best not to change this aspect of the delivery program right now, given the elections are so close, and we need to redo the whole delivery program after the election, but it'll be something worthwhile bringing in with the next delivery program.
Yeah.
Happy with that, Councillor?
That's okay, but I do remember we had a damn good worker here working on the shire. general manager at the time forced him into a position that he clocked the general manager, and that was instant dismissal, of course. But part of the reason was they kept on trying to make him read different things, and he couldn't read. He could do the work, but he couldn't read. And it was I just wish I was the bloke who hit the general manager at the time, but I wasn't. And Roger got away without me hitting the head, but I would have loved to hit him in the head a couple of times. But anyway, that's beside the point. I'm just getting at, you know, I do know there are quite a few people who used to be on the outside staff who had very low literacy levels. And I also know by people around that in this Shire area, you have a lot of low literacy levels. Kids go through school sometimes and just fall through the cracks and don't get taught basic literacy.
Right. I think we've got your point, and just be careful of some of the things you say too, please, Councillor. you will be using people's name in vain.
Yeah, I didn't give you the name.
You did? You did? No, don't say it anymore.
Thanks.
We definitely will look into that situation. All right.
Yep. Okay.
All right, any more questions? Elaine, Councillor Bendall.
Yes, on page 65, 1.4.2, Tullabagil mobile hours, it says here Monday to Tuesday, 8:30 a.m. to 3:15, but we're told we can't drop the children off till 8:45. So what is 8:40? What is the correct time that they can be?
I believe the correct time is 8:45. Eight girls are there prior to that, and they just need time to set up and things like that. So that potentially should be a correction.
Yep. Thank you.
Councillor Hall?
Yeah, I was...
Sorry, Mark.
Thank you. Through you, Mr. Mayor. You know, we're talking about the TAFE going on the headlines and Lakes News last week. Maybe the bigger issue is making sure we've got a TAFE next year. Looking at cutting jobs again, and they've already shredded the staffing levels at Lake, and they're talking about doing it again, apparently. 49 or 48 jobs in the Central West in TAFE.
Yeah.
Gonna have campuses with no staff.
Yeah, definitely an issue. Councillor Phillips.
Donnie, thank you. It was just back to what Councillor Bendall spoke about, was the Children's Services of Tullabagil. Do we have a bus, or we just have a sedan now?
Prado. I believe they have a Prado wagon. You need to take staff out.
Karen, yes, but I was out there the other day, and I see a sedan, and I was just wondering how the staff got all their facilities out there, like their hoop rings and different things, and I thought that was rather strange, just in a sedan.
I rent a Prado on Monday over there. Normally they do have a Prado that they take out. Perhaps there was a problem with the car.
Thank you, Karen. It was just a question, and that solved it. Thank you.
Yeah. Generally there is, yes.
More questions on the delivery program? If there's not, all those in favour? As against, it's carried. Page 129, 7.5, active resolutions for March, as at March 2021. Would someone like to move that?
Move it that way.
Councillor Harris, second up. Councillor Phillips, any questions on the active resolutions?
I just had a question, and I couldn't pick it up before. The September 20 donation requests, it was when Condobolin Public School requested money for their swimming program.
Right.
And it's just got here that correspondence has been sent to Condobolin High School about it. And I was like, well, if we're waiting on a response and it went to the high school, we're probably not getting one.
I think that might be a typo on my behalf, Councillor.
No worries. Primary school. Legend.
That's written in here, Ron.
Right. Sounds good. Any other questions? Last two resolutions, Councillor Harris.
Just a question on the... question on the Babylon Men's Shed. Just any further update on that, please?
Well, General Manager, can I get to answer that one?
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. The representatives from the Condobolin Men's Shed have been down and looked at the facility, and I'm happy with what they've seen. They think it'll be suitable for their purposes. I had a meeting with their president and the lady who was assisting with their transition on Monday, and we talked about a proposed memorandum of understanding and the terms of an agreement, and I'll be having that formalised into a draft document to bring to hopefully the April council meeting.
Complimentary. As a matter of interest, how many currently active members of the that use the facility that Condablin's mentioned, do you know?
I understand it's about 9.
Hopefully this might improve it. Right, any more questions? Yep. Van Dahl?
Lewis?
I just report to you.
Sorry, I have to apologise to Council. I've inadvertently not mentioned something. The Lachlan Children's Services is mentioned on page 64, and my sister is an employee of that organisation. So I apologise. I don't know. I just didn't.
But would you call it insignificant?
Well, she's on maternity leave at the moment, so I don't know, but she's an employee, and I won't join in any discussion, but it's mentioned, so I'm sorry. I didn't realise.
We'll make a note of it.
I don't think it matters in the active resolutions
report. If it's in the active resolutions.
In the delivery
program. Right, delivery program it is, so it's not actually a motion.
I just thought I'd better mention it. Sorry.
Right, you brought it up.
My fault entirely. I apologise.
Right, Councillor Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Page 135, the draft Lachlan, not... Look at the draft bushfire prone land map, which we had, I guess, back in December or something, November. Is anyone else sort of not that impressed with all they've done is go back and rezone absolutely everything that isn't a tree as zone 3, which is medium risk, which is every square inch of cropping or grazing land in the Shire that doesn't have a tree on it. Would requires 30-metre buffer zones and jumping through all of the legislative hoops. And I just think that that's a very poor and cheap way of having done
mapping
those maps. I don't think it's got any accuracy, validity at all.
I just might ask, I think you didn't have to do a review on that. Go back.
Yeah. Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to have those discussions with Councillor Hall offline whilst the document's on exhibition, and we can talk about, I guess, what that mapping has been done that way, and we can have further discussions to try and clarify those issues.
Is that Councillor Hall?
Yeah. No.
No, you're not happy with the map, but I thought actually you went back and talked to them and they were going to review.
Have any avenues of
addressing
his concerns?
It's on exhibition anyway, isn't it?
It is on exhibition. I guess the issue is that if we're going to declare areas that the RFS have declared as being bushfire prone and identified the level of risk, we have to have sufficient reasons to go against that. Based on the analysis that was undertaken by Integrated Consulting on Council's behalf, we didn't believe that there were reasons to go against that classification, but happy to discuss that further and go from there.
Righty, Councillor Hall.
Yeah, it's a poor response. I know who did the mapping, and it's rubbish.
All right.
It was done on the cheap by University of Wollongong, as it says in the documentation on the RFS site. It's rot. It's rot. Absolute rot.
What do you want to do about it?
Yeah.
Reject it.
Reject. And what will come out of this mapping anyway?
A whole lot of red tape for everyone to develop anything on high prone land.
Yeah. There must be got a lot of flood prone land at present moment they'll have to go and map again to.
Right, because it's still under review, so we can it's not dead in the water, so you can still discuss it and still bring it forward, and I think we can. Yep.
So you wouldn't,
and you might be able to bring something forward at the next council meeting once you've had a talk to.
So we wouldn't remap then. Like if he's saying that he believes the mapping has not been done, well, that wasn't done by us. It was done by
consultant.
Done by the RFS, was it?
Or the consultant.
Yeah. Well, whatever. Can they engage?
Yep.
Yeah.
Probably right. Desktop.
I'm just trying to think of avenues to sort of ease his concerns.
Yeah, well, we've still got avenues, and I'm just saying, like, if he can have a talk with and then come back, you know, like, if necessary. But Greg might make a comment.
I just want to say, and with not disagreeing on Councillor Hall's comments, I think for Council to change the recommendations of the Rural Fire Service on the zoning of bushfire-prone land would place us in an extremely risky situation in the event of a future fire that destroys property, because the insurance companies of the world will be coming and knocking on Council's door to say, you were warned about this, and for whatever reasons you chose to ignore that advice, and this organisation will be where the liability. So we need to be very careful on the advice we take and the directions we go to when we make a decision on this policy.
Mr. Mayor, how long since we've had a major bushfire in Lachlan Shire? Has gone through and destroyed houses and villages and land. But we are a different type of area to where on the coast, where you've got people living on underneath trees and in places where you're going to get fire prone. The last time I could remember, it's been just a crop fire from a header or something, and it only burnt the paddock it was in, or the header. But I haven't actually ever heard of any getting out of hand where all the RFS people have got to get out there and fight the fire and put it out like we had in 2019, beginning of 2020. So you might be right that the insurance companies do want to have something to fall back onto, because they always want to get out of jail card. But I think this is just getting over the top.
Well, I think we'll... further discussion, I think, is required on that. I think that because I think what's already been said, and that's sort of thing, because you never say never, and because you just look weather and climate change, you never know.
Yeah, we're having it.
Yeah, we are. Dead right, it's happening all the time. Councillor Phillips.
Johnny just has talked about it with signed release.
Garrett.
So, Dr. Butterworld had not as of last week. When council made contact with him towards the end of the week before, he was in Wagga Wagga with a medical appointment for one of his children and planning to be back in town this week. We're hoping that we'll arrive soon. If not, Imogen will follow him up just to see how he's going. He didn't raise any concerns with it. He just said he was out of town with not a medical appointment with one of his children.
Thanks, Karen.
Any further questions on the Act of Resolutions?
Oh, can I have another one? Awesome. The Aboriginal Cultural Heritage Study. We're only putting out for expressions of interest, are we? Or is a policy for 28 days or what?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. It has been on exhibition, the draft Aboriginal Cultural Heritage Study. We've also held a series of workshops, both Condoblin and at Murrum Bridge, as part of the consultation process. As it says there, changes have been suggested to the study, which have been incorporated. It has now gone back to the groups that we met with for them to have a look at those changes. It has also gone to the Heritage Office for them to review the study as well, as they're providing the grant funds before we bring it to council. So making sure that the Heritage Office is happy with the process being undertaken before we bring it to council.
Okay, that's in April.
That's the plan, yeah.
Okay.
That public exhibition has ended?
I'm sorry.
Questions on the active resolutions? Those in favour? Those against? That's carried. Right now, page 149, and thank you for the general manager reports. Now to corporate and community services, and the first one on 8.1, customer survey information for councillors and community.
No.
Councillor Harris. Councillor Carter, is it? Yep. Questions on the...
Hey, can I just make comment on that?
Yes, please.
Probably more of a comment. I just have a bit of a concern about some of those types of surveys. They said that they're not telemarketers get their purchase phone numbers. I just wonder how they actually purchase phone numbers. I just don't know It just worried me how they actually get these numbers when they say they've got 2,500 phone numbers. I take them to be landlines and 1,000 mobile phones. So has anybody got any ideas actually how they source those numbers?
Ask Karen. I think Karen might better answer that one. Who's on? Me. Sorry, Karen.
That's okay. Thanks, Councillor Carter. That is a good question. I did ask that question myself. I was curious as to how they obtained the phone numbers. They're actually a market research company, not a telemarketer, which is how they're exempt from the Do Not Call register. Not that if you're called, you're not obliged to go ahead with the call, so it is voluntary. So what they have actually said is they actually have to buy the numbers. They also harvest, was their word, some numbers off white pages and things like that. So the numbers are all legitimately obtained within the Shire. So there is different databases and things that they can purchase. So I did ask Stu, who's the gentleman from Micromix, how they went about that process. So
the question really hadn't been answered, like who are they buying the numbers from, unless I missed something there, but Telstra actually buying the numbers from.
Telstra and all those.
Yeah, but they've got the rights to sell private numbers. I mean, I don't give anybody's phone number out.
I was just going to answer on this. Thank you, Karen. Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't ask the specific company's name. I can do that if you wish and bring that back, you know, at a later date, if that would ease councillors' minds. And I'm just having a little bit of difficulty hearing over here. So if anyone on that side does ask questions, would you just mind pushing your button on to speak just so I can hear you clearly?
Yeah. Yeah. Councillor Carter, we'll try and get a bit more information for you as we go along, keep you informed. So any more questions on the customer survey?
Perhaps Karen can get that information and email it out.
Yeah. Do that. All right, Karen will try and get that and emailed out to all the councillors, and you all will know what is going on with a bit of luck. Right, if there's no further questions, all those in favour?
Aye. Right.
Those against, that's carried. Right, now to page 159, strategic plan update. Someone like to move that?
Further recommendation.
Councillor Harris. Second up.
Yep.
Councillor Hall. Right. Any questions on the update on the strategic plan? No questions. No one wants to follow up on anything?
I just had one question. You're on.
Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I note that in that IT suggestions there is to buy Microsoft 365. And I just want to know, will that be available on our councillor iPads? Because I find that the software that's available on this seem to be horrendous. But there's no version of Word that I can use on here. And Microsoft 365, I think, is the web-based version, isn't it?
I've got Google Docs on mine. I asked Terry to pop the Google Docs and Sheets and stuff on mine. So I'm using Docs, if that helps you.
I tried Docs, but you send it to someone else and it won't let them link, let them access. So, So I just had a question with
365 or
whether we could get the 365 on these iPads.
All right, just so we get a question.
I believe they will be compatible with the iPads. I will confirm that with Terry, though, and get back to councillors. Yes.
All right, any other questions on strategic? Not all those in favour?
Aye.
Against, carried. All right, now the page 193, 8.3 investments at the 28th of February 2021. Someone to
move that way.
Councillor Harris, Councillor Phillips. Any questions on the investments? See there. Aaron was pretty excited about some investments during the picture. You got
0.5
or something.
0.5. You're very excited.
0.5.
0.5. Yes. Yeah.
Looking good.
I sense keeping money in the bank, isn't it?
Yeah. Keep you in cigarettes. All right. Any further comments? No. All those in favour?
Mm-hmm.
Mine is carried. Now to page 205, 8.4. Draft Youth Strategy 2021-30, Realising Our Potential. Would someone like to move that report, please?
Yep.
Councillor Hall. Second up. Second up.
Yep.
Councillor piece, was it? Done well. All right, so this report is for the youth strategy to go out the 28-day reporting. So any questions on that before we pass the hall?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I could start by saying that it's a tremendously well-written report, but it highlights a lot of issues of really high concern in terms of how people in our shire are doing compared to the state in terms of single parent unemployment, especially youth unemployment, health and allied issues, smoking and pregnancy, which has such a massive impact on children, jobless families, those different things that really highlights a lot of things that are of issue. But a couple of things that are in there that we really, I think, need to be highlighted more in terms of advocacy is the horrendous access to internet that most of the shire still suffers. Like, we can't even make calls today.
No.
We have a third of the people in the shire with no access to internet. That's an infrastructure issue that we should be advocating more. Roy Butler, in his monthly roundup this month, has highlighted that the New South Wales government has only spent a tiny fraction of the several hundred million that they allocated for regional IT type connectivity. They're just not doing it. And that's putting our people behind the door. And one of the big issues that it highlights is the disadvantage that youth have if they're living with carers, especially family carers, like grandparents or aunts or uncles that are caring for them. Because our legislation, and I was going to ask for this to be actually taken to the National LGA conference, and it's too late now because submissions have to be in Friday. If you foster a child that's not part of your family, you get paid quite well to foster. If you foster a child that's related to you, you get paid the child endowment for that child and nothing else. And it's not enough money for them to manage that child's needs well. There's one lay out at Murrum Bridge who's fostering seven of her grandchildren, five of them with special needs. And she can't do it because the government's policy won't pay what's needed for them to be looked after. And that's an across-the-board issue. And when you consider that we've got a massively high Indigenous population with a higher than average rate of people in such care, that's a massive impact. Until we can actually address those impacts, all of the other issues of education and future will never be solved. And we really should be doing more advocacy on some of those issues. But that's one that's just really horrendous.
Thank you, Councillor Hall. I think this is a strategy to go out on the public exhibition and also have time to come back and review it even further. So, all those in favour?
Aye. Right.
Those against? Carried. Page 253, policy review, asset accounting policy. Someone like to move that report, please. Councillor Phillips, second it.
Second that.
Councillor Carter, any questions on that? That's just for information.
Any questions?
Policy.
Any questions? I have, Mr. Mayor, is all these words that I've...
Well, things have changed. I think things have changed a bit, I think.
I'm from.
Yeah. But if there's no questions on that.
Yeah, I'd just like to make a comment, please, Mr. Mayor.
Press your button, please, mate.
you, Mr. Mayor. I just, you know, the only question I have on this is what's changed? Because it's a 20-page document with no highlights of what's actually changed, and we keep being asked to review policies without any highlight of what's changed. I can't remember what was on there or not on there, and this is a short policy. Some of the others are quite long. They should be given to us with a highlight of what's changed so that we know what we're actually agreeing to change or not change, you know, because otherwise we're just rubber stamping an existing policy. This says approve the policy as amended, but what's amended? There's no report, there's no highlighting to tell us what's amended in this policy or any other, and that makes it very hard for us as councillors to do our job.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Carol. Oh, sorry, Carol.
Councillor Hall, I'll take that on notice, and we can make sure we do that going forward in the policy document, as I agree it would be easier. In the issues and comments section, we did mention there what the main changes to the policy were, incorporating definitions for community and operational land and how they are classified, and adding componentisation information for roads and buildings in the definitions and also in Appendix 1. But I do agree going forward, if we were to... maybe just put a summary in the issues comments and actually have it highlighted on the document that it would be easy for councillors. And I will take that on notice and ensure that any future ones from community services do come up like that.
Thank you.
General Manager, my comment?
We could also provide the document with track changes shown, but sometimes that makes it more difficult to read and follow what's happening. That'll be the other way we could.
Yeah, if it's actually highlighted, I mean, the software these days has got version control that you can do that fairly easily.
They highlight the summary.
Highlight the differences in the document. You can see it.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Info Council does present us with some challenges with formatting and highlighting. So it should be easy, but I can't say it will always be the case. The way of emphasising what the changes are.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. There's no other questions on the policy. All those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? That is carried. Now we're going to page 274, I believe. And thanks, Karen.
It's good pass. I want to be quick.
Did
Ground reserves, just before we pass. How did council make any fees or any money out of those? We're responsible for them. Maintenance and use. We get a return from the current Crown Reserves, Karen, at all or not?
Yeah.
Thank you, Councillor Phillips, for the question. Very limited, I would say. Quite a number of them, no, we received no return on. We do have some with leases on them that, you know, might be for different things like horse stables, like that, but very, very limited. Mostly they cost a lot more than it does. And I do know that there was previously, prior to my time, is my understanding that they were looking at different ways of whether we could put some fees and charges in to look at different types of sporting reserves and things like that. But councillors have actually, you know, not. Asked for that not to go ahead at this stage. So they're very limited options, basically just very, very costly.
Thank you.
There is a review app just finished, a link to it on Crownland.
Yeah.
I heard on news this morning, down the track there. I think we've done that one.
Can I just ask a question, Mr. Mayor? The Commons. Who gets the money from the Commons?
Sorry, what was that, Councillor?
The Commons reserves. Who gets the money from those? You know, we have a common out here near the opposite the research centre, the Milford Hill Research Centre. Used to have heaps of horses running on and all that. Who actually owns it and who gets the money from it? We do. Okay, I thought we did, but I weren't sure when you said about reserves. But what can we do with that land?
I'm not across the legalities in New South Wales, but generally Crown Reserve land is not something we could sell. But the GM may be able to go further on that. So the only way we could make money for that where possible would be things like the common, where adjustment fees are charged for animals that are running on the common. But other types of reserves, say for water and sewer, we might have easements and things like that. Obviously, we can't charge anything for those. But the GM might be able to speak further to a little bit more about the legal aspects of Crown land and what we can do in the state about that.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Karen. I'm going to actually defer to Adrian. He's our in-house expert on Crown reserves, and he'll give a much better answer than I can.
Adrian. Hello, Adrian.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, the purpose and what we can do with Crown land reserves is limited to what the original reserve purpose was and what the Crown set the reserve up to be. With the Crown Lands Management Act being pushing council towards a few different things, we are reviewing the we have reviewed the classification and categorisation of each of those lands. This is part of the plans of management that we're developing for all of the Crown lands. And that sets out framework and the things that can be done on that land. And in short, the income that can be generated from that is restricted to leases and licences issued over the land, such as grazing leases, such as licences for stables and things like that. And user fees.
All right. Thank you.
Here is Mark.
We've moved that one. And... Right. Yeah. Thanks, thanks, Karen. Now we're moving on to environment, tourism, and economic development. And on page 274, we've got the draft mobile food and drink vendors trading on public parks, place, roads, and reserves policy.
I move it.
Second. Who's a mover?
Carter.
Carter and Phillips, the seconder. All right, any questions on that,
please? Yeah, can I just make comment, Mr. Mayor, please?
Right.
Question, comment or question or something rather. Like, if I understand what I'm reading correctly, it's right now between 8 and 9, maximum 8 hours per day, and that I think that seems a bit restrictive for that type of a business.
Yeah.
I think it's something that probably should be open for discussion. I understand it goes to public comment. They're going to have opportunity to comment on it, but I just think that you shouldn't be restricting those types of businesses because, for example, the trucks and a lot of tourists and that, they go through areas like, you know, at daylight and after dark and that. And I think it would be better for community if they were actually operating when they feel as best. I don't think we should be restricting their operating hours. That's all I'm saying to that one. I think it's just something that needs further discussion. And 150 metres, I just don't quite understand the 150 metre part either, like in a straight line from an operating business. That's what it is. That's what it is, I guess. But I'm just concerned about the hours of operation. That's all.
They're up for discussion.
What was that?
They're up for discussion. They're the recommendations that we put forward, I guess. So.
Councillor Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've got quite a few comments on it as well. One of the issues, and it's confusion. But if this is an overarching policy, it seems like that is going to have a phenomenal impact on all the food vendors at our shows when they come in. Are they exempted from this, or how does it work for shows? Because they're certainly operating for more than 8 hours and they're not doing a lot of the other things that are here. And I didn't understand reading this, how that operates.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, this policy doesn't apply to event applications. So if there's an event like the show, outside of this policy.
Okay.
So this is for one-off food trucks, like the kebab truck.
Truck.
Yeah.
Okay. My next question is, when they're operating off-road, in a reserve or whatever, why restrict them from putting out tables and chairs for the convenience of patrons?
Well, John.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. That was mainly made for the issue of the damage and wear and tear on the grass and things like that. We do have a number of parks and gardens that already have established tables and chairs and the like, and they're established for that purpose in that area. Happy to leave that open if that's what council wishes to do.
Most of the ones that come around, certainly to late, have a few tables and chairs, which are usually well thought over. People want to sit down instead of wearing their food. You've got some typos.
The words are close.
280, page 281, 2.21 location. The second set of alphabetical dot points there, the B. To sell to any person that is standing on a within an active vehicle pathway. I think that should be standing on or within. And the same typo is repeated a few pages further on where it's talking about the off-road as opposed to this is the on-road one. Makes exactly the same typo at point B for that. So that just needs to be fixed up. And my final query, at the bottom on page 316, it says, not page 316, but it's dot point 3.16. It talks about the damage bonds, well, 3.15 and 3.16, fees and charges and damage bonds. And it says, as per council's adopted fees and charges schedules. But I think when we put these out, that we should actually say what those fees and charges are at the date of the inception of the policy. So for in the 2021 budget, that fee for the damage bond is this amount, which will change with CPI. It just means that people can read the document and not have to go and chase another document to find out what those actual costs are. So it would be very helpful to just have that in there so that people know fairly accurately what that's going to be. Because it's only going to be, you know, it should only be up to 3 or 4 years before a document's reviewed. And we can change that number. So it's not something that we change every year, but it gives them a guideline as to what those costs are likely to be. And I think that's just a helpful thing.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, yes, we can certainly add that in and say that what the cost is under the next year's fees and charges, and then say as per council's adopted fees and charges at that time. Yes, the policy will have to be reviewed within a year of the new council because it's a local approvals policy as well.
So those with that policy with it and making sure it's got the date of that. Amount you like said respective of what the date now.
Yeah, it'll say as per the fees and charges.
And the Councillor Carter's comment about the times and that sort of thing, take note of that.
I'm happy to open that up to council as to what they.
Is there any other further comments?
Can I just also on the 150 metres, you say it's in a straight line, so does that stop people operating out the park here in Condo? Because it's probably only 150 metres to when you get to Happy Days. So you could be...
All Romos
in a straight line. And if you went up, say, up to just down the road here and you pulled up and you're at that park and you're opposite that, you'd also be straight opposite BP and their food vending. So,
and the railway
hotel and all these other places. So and I don't know, you know, a lot of our parks are very close to main streets and so forth. Would that also mean that these vendors couldn't actually operate in Lachlanshire?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I believe the 150 would allow operate from Memorial Park in Melbourne.
Yeah.
But as per the other comments, they'd be operating opposite other food premises that have to pay rent and.
Or Caltex or any of those, if they were in that Memorial Park and at the other end of it, they'd only be within 100 metres of Caltex. Oh, it also sells food, you know.
More than that.
Huh?
More than that.
Yeah. But, you know, it's...
Get you to walk up and down it a few times.
I don't know.
I'm just worried about whether any further discussion about the times that Councillor Carter.
If I comment now, I'll close the debate on that. But anyway, just a further one. Does that restrict it to the trading, as you know, like coffees and donuts, that sort of stuff, or does it also include those people who come out selling fruits and that at their service stations?
It has to be food stuff, so can't sell alcohol, can't sell non-food products. I think it's specified in the policy. It can sell.
Well, answer your question.
Can I just have a follow-up on that one? On fruit and vegetables, we used to have people who used to come around selling fruit and vegetables door to door. One of those blokes is one of the biggest operators of IGA in New South Wales, Tony Bernardi. And Tony Bernardi made his first start going around door to door selling. At 6 o'clock in the morning, he used to come to where I used to board in town selling stuff. So would this then restrict those people from selling as well?
Vendors different.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. So are you asking whether people can come door to door selling products door to door?
Well, he was selling door to door.
Well, like the seafood truck, when it comes to town and parks out the front of the railway, and I go and buy my 2 kilos of prawns and a dozen oysters, is that?
That would be subject to this policy. They'd need to set up in a.
So even if the railway provides power for them to plug in their cool room and stuff like that, because they buy a bucket of seafood off them, they can't technically be there.
Open at 9 o'clock.
It's just because it's fresh seafood. Like, it's not like they're selling coffee and cake and stuff that are up against the BP and Happy Days and Romo's and stuff. It's something we can't get in town. So I don't know. Makes it difficult. I think of things like that, the fresh seafood truck, the cherry man when he comes at Christmas time and parks in the shell cup, like the shell servo. Or do they just pretend this policy doesn't exist and just sell their cherries in the car park of the servo and we go from there?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, we can make exemptions under the policy if there's specific things that you think should be allowed, such as the seafood van, but it's going to be very difficult to cover everything.
Yeah.
Just make the point, this is on public roads and public places. So if they're selling it in the car park of the railway hotel or if it's in the forecourt of the garage,
that's fine.
Not subject. Well, it might not be fine, but it's not subject to this policy.
Okay, fair enough.
It's that it was in the car park. Yeah, okay.
Okay, no, that makes sense.
In a private car park, it doesn't affect.
Yeah, so if it's parked in the car park of the pub, the seafood van, for example, that should be fine.
The other requirements?
Not necessarily fine. The development approval, this policy doesn't apply to it.
Don't stop the seafood ban. Please don't stop the seafood ban.
Certainly got that message. All right.
So this, it's going to start getting confusing. Our footpath vendors. Okay, we have a monthly market at Lake that sits outside the post office and they sell fruit and veg off the back of a truck and they've got a permit to do that and whatever. That's not the same, even though it's edible food.
It's a form of event, that one. So, no.
Okay, because that's an event.
Yep.
But what if it's not an event and the guy's just there on some other weekend selling fruit and veg?
It may be subject to this. It'd be a case-by-case basis.
But it comes more under that footpath vendor thing rather than food, doesn't it?
Well, no, it'll still be covered by this because it's on the footpath, is part of the road.
Tell him to go into a car park.
Mm. Park at the hardware shop.
All right, I think we're starting to get Councillor Harris, can you wind?
Yeah, I'm confused now.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what's starting to worry me.
That's what worries me. Confusing us is confusing everyone else.
Example of seafood van what's coming, and it was used to be parked outside the front of the railway hotel. So it's on a public road.
Mm-hmm. That's what we were saying.
For the sake of their advertising, they've got to have a designated so people know where to go and get their seafood from. Under this policy, what I'm reading, if they don't have a customer every 15 minutes, they haven't got to go and move somewhere else at least 500 metres away, which is then going to make it very difficult for the seafood customers to know where they've moved to unless they put a sign up and say, we have moved 500 metres up the road this direction. This is where some of the confusion I'm finding.
Who polices that?
Council.
I think we need to change that 15-minute thing. I think that's crazy.
Can we put all that in after it, once it goes on public exhibition, then it comes back, okay. Then we can add that in?
Yep.
If we want to?
Yep. I think John's taking note of all this and
But all I would ask, Mr. Mayor, is that those comments be made while us on exhibition so that we can then make those changes before.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get through.
So we just email them in then?
Yep. Right. That's what I'm trying to get across. Like if they changes in, we
it's should. It's been good discussion, and but we just need this. That's why we want to get the 28 days out there. All right. All those in favour? Those against? Carried. Now on to page 288, 9.2, rebranding of council, a new brand for council's visitor economy. Would someone like to move the report, please?
Move it.
Councillor Harris, seconder.
I'll second to speak on it, Johnny.
Thank you,
Yeah, we'd like to.
Councillor Phillips, thank you very kindly for doing that. All right, I shall open up for discussion because, as you can note there too, this is to go on to up for 28 days. Exhibition as well. So, righto, who's first up? Councillor Rees.
Look, there's a couple there that I quite like and I'm partial to either. My concern sits around option number one. Now, I know we've paid a consultancy firm to develop this for us, but I'm finding it hard to believe that the font utilised in option one of the actual council branding meets accessibility guidelines in terms of vision impaired people. And the ability to zoom and whatnot, being that the A's look like O's, the C's look like O's. I'm just, that would be my preference of the new logos, but I'm not sure that font meets accessibility recommendations in terms of what we need to do, I would assume, as a public entity. And that's just from my experience with department stuff. I just think we need more square-sized font or something that goes under that. Are we aware if it meets accessibility requirements?
No. I'll just ask John to...
Through you, Mr. Mayor, we'll have to review that. So that's a good point.
But, further comment, Councillor Blewett?
My comments probably aren't going to be taken the right way, but I'm going to say them anyway. I was quite disappointed with what the consultants come up with, since we paid quite a bit of money to represent Lachlan Shire Council and put that into a brand. But that said, my preference too would be option one, because I honestly believe option two and option three, that could be anybody or any company. It does not say to me Lachlan Shire Council. I'm sorry, and I'm sorry. I don't want to offend anyone. I'm just disappointed. I just want to put that out there, and I don't know what no one can do anything about that, because that's my own opinion. But if I had to have an option, I would go with option one, but with the caveat that I'm not really fond of any of them.
I was looking for options.
I say that's the colour of the chair.
Any further comments, please? Right.
Yeah, as I said, I believe back in the beginning, it's...
Oh, Brian.
To me, it's sort of change for sake of change, how I see it. And I would have liked to have thought they could have done something like option one, blended in with our original logo. That's the only thing that's missing on the original logo, is a bit of the Aboriginal contact of their history. And I reckon that's the way it should have went. And they didn't even think about that when they put this together. Getting so much money to come up with something like this, it's quite intriguing to me. And when you look at you put it out for submissions, what will happen with this, from my experience, is one of those things that people don't put submissions in, but once we change the logo, that's when council will get the backlash. But people didn't care, didn't worry about it, but once it's changed, that's when the people are going to get upset. From my experience on council, that's what will happen.
It'll be like a water tower.
Thanks, Brian. Any further comment?
John Hardline.
Councillor Phillips?
Yeah.
Question about the mate.
Sorry, John. I don't disagree with any one of the comments that already spoken. I don't think any one of those forms represent Lachlan Shire in any way or manner. We are a rural society. I can't see any rule in any of those.
Point in one of them.
Sorry, that's a good one.
Some sort of a plan.
I think that you'd be able to come up with something a little better that does represent our shire in a better light. That where we are, we're a real shire. We live in a real community, and I think we should be able to come up with something a little bit better than what we got there. Mr. Mayor, thank you.
Councillor Phillips, any further comment? Councillor Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question. The tourism logos that we have here are just black and white. Is that what's being proposed? I thought that we saw these originally, that they were coloured like the logos.
Yeah, I think in the video they showed them as coloured.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm thinking. And this is just monochrome. So are we advertising this as a monochrome logo or as a multicoloured one like the Shire logo as opposed to the tourism logo? It just... is that representing what we're voting on or not?
Thanks, John.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. It was proposed to be advertised as depicted in the business paper, but we can certainly do it in colour if that's the preference. The idea is that the actual form of the tourism logo then can be adopted and used with hero photos, images and the like. So it's not in accordance with the council's colour scheme. Yeah. Advertised as per the business papers, how we were intending to do it.
All right. Any other further comment there, Councillor Phillips?
Mark mentioned that video we had. Johnny, is that available? How can one...
It's on your thing under the February meeting.
Yes.
If you go into the February meeting business paper, it's got the video and the full PDF, because I only watched the video this morning, so it wouldn't load until I got into the building.
We really appreciate that advice, Melissa. However, for the general public...
Oh.
Sorry,
team.
I'll just go back to John with that, because I think that will be included with the 28 days, won't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's correct, Mr. Mayor.
Video.
That's all right, but can the public get it?
Yeah.
How? On the website, is that?
Yeah.
It will be.
Since we are.
It will be.
Yeah. Right.
Authorised.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Dave, hang on. Just put your button off, please, mate.
Sorry.
Councillor Blewett.
Sorry. I just want to add a bit of positivity, because I feel like I was quite negative around the whole process before. In the tourism logos, I actually really like option B. So I just wanted to put a bit of positivity out there, because I know I sounded really negative, and I am towards the the other ones, but I really do like option B in the tourism logo options.
Yeah, not better than
that. Thanks for that, Councillor Blewett. Now that's Councillor Carter.
Hi, everyone.
Right, thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Blewett.
Mr. Mayor, look, I'm going to favour option one for the logo, corporate logo, and also, like Councillor Blewett and most other councillors, option B for the tourism logo. However, what I'd like to really see on both of those is Wiradjuri country underneath those. I really think that's important today. It doesn't matter what part of Australia you go to, but they have a tendency to promote the local Aboriginal area, and I think that's what we're missing. We've done on our signs in and out of the town. And if I just one criticism with option one for that corporate logo, I just would like to have seen something there to represent an animal again, like a bull or a cow. I'm not a farmer, but I think that we're missing some stock there, actually. You know, I like it. It's sort of even got a bit of an Aboriginal theme, though, the way it's all drawn, a bit like dot art. But I would really like to see Wiradjuri country on those logos. Thank you.
Right.
Can I ask a question, Mr. Mayor?
Just hang on. Just with that directory, you've got the 28 days, and if some submission comes back, we can definitely look at it. And now, Councillor, would you like to make a comment?
Yeah. Just this comment. What if the public come back with negative from all of them? What do we do then?
Keep the old one.
No, well, I'm just saying we had 124 people. Who actually supposed to have had looked at this, out of 6,000 something people in the Shire, it's a very small number which actually made any comments. So I'm just wondering what happens if we have a lot of negative comments to all of them. What do we do then? Go back and start again? Just go with whatever we think might be the most appropriate, which to me is option four in the first one and option three in the third one.
Thank you, Councillor.
Blank looks.
I think with the
first survey, I think, will give us a pretty fair idea of what might happen, but you just never know. John, do you want to say something?
No, all I was going to say, Mr. Mayor, is that that would be obviously a decision for council to make. All I would say is that the community have asked for branding to be examined as part of the community strategic process. So that's why it has been put forward and why we've started the process. But, yeah, I guess we'd have to cross that bridge when we come to it.
Yep. I think I just might cancel Reece there.
My only other feedback was because the new signs just out of Dubbo that point into Wellington and the new branding Dubbo Council have done have got their towns in the wrong directions. Can we not possibly get this one like in the north to south order or the south to north order of how our shire sits? Because it's, I don't know, some people aren't as OCD as me, but when I look at it and, you know, Tottenham sitting that far south of Condo, we should essentially hope to weave that into the tourism if you go through our towns. If the order north to south could represent our shire, that would be fabulous for people's like organisation like I do.
Button, push your button. Thank you very much for that, Councillor Rees. Now, our general manager would like to make a comment.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor, I hope this is helpful. I wanted to back up what the Director of Environment was saying. The reason we embarked on this process is because it was an action in the community strategic plan. The community had asked us to do it. We have been out and asked the community for their ideas on designs and we didn't get anything come back. Council resolved to engage a consultant. The consultant went to the community and we saw the responses that we got and the ideas that people came up with. And this is their interpretation of the results. And we've all got different opinions on how satisfactory or unsatisfactory those results are. But in order to follow through, we need to go back to the community and get their opinion. And if the response is that it's option four and option three, that's the response and we accept it and we move on and we stay with the old logo. But until we put it out there and ask the community what they think, we won't know. And we can argue all day about what's good and what's bad, and we've all got a different opinion to it.
Put it out.
End of the day, it's what the community will want. Nobody, we won't please everybody. We've got to try and please the majority. And sometimes that's courageous to make the decision to try and do it, but until we ask, we won't know the answer.
That was when it's decided that provides a bit of a freshen up in terms of our Facebook, our website, our communication and publicity is incredibly poor in comparison to other shires in terms of information. And I mainly just follow shires that surround us. So once we've worked out whatever this looks like, if we can get that as a priority.
Yeah, our information technology staff are working right now on a new website design. The tourism staff are working on new branding. The selection of a logo is holding up the production of new brochures because if we go with a new brand, we don't want a lot of information with the old logo. So this decision is critical to moving on with that overall change.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I just have an exhibition, and please forgive me if this is a silly question. How big are these logos going to be presented? Are they just going to be presented like that, or do they each get their own like A4 size, just so people can have a look at the design and make an opinion and see the colours and everything? Because when you're looking at something quite small, sometimes people don't get the full idea of them. So, plus, when it goes on exhibition, is it only going on exhibition here or is it going out to all the libraries? And with in mind that I'd hope that we could get the logos a bit bigger than how they're represented here, just so people can have a look.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. So the way we did the initial consultation was to put that out through paper form as well as a Survey Monkey response as well. I'd imagine we'll do the similar thing with the public consultation on this as well. So that was left at various locations throughout the Shire. So the paper form would, I would think, be in one A4 sheet for each logo.
Do we sort out the font before it goes on public exhibition?
Yep.
Right. A pretty good debate there, and we'll get it out on. Oh, sorry.
I'd just like to go back to Greg's questions about this.
Push your button.
Oh.
Please, you're going well.
These consultants, they do come out for our reason. When do they come? How do we advertise they're coming? How do we know who they're interviewing? I've never heard of a consultant coming to Lake of Dillinger and want to ask me a question or my opinion. And I don't know of a lot of other people that have had the same issues or not, but I'd just like reference
to... Through you, Mr. Mayor, the questionnaire that went out was the way of collecting the information, how people felt.
It wasn't a consultant that actually went to their villages.
Mr. Mayor, can I just make one last thing on that? I just, with only 120 people responding to it, I just wonder if it's really a fair way yet, like to come up with a decision to make to change the logos altogether. Shouldn't there be a percentage of the population or something? Like maybe we're not articulating enough to the public. Maybe it needs to go to the kids at the school out of the future, at any rate, and maybe it needs to go through the school to take this home. Like I guarantee a lot of people would never have seen it, you know, like the paper, don't look on the internet. We have an aging population, but I think we probably should be looking at maybe distributing it through the schools. I don't know what's the thing, so that wouldn't you know, just a thought. And I think we should really 120 is not going to make a decision for 6,000 people. I don't
I'll advise our staff that it's on consultation and they can encourage their kids to look at it and review it, but we had to move forward with
and I think it's up to the councillors a lot too. Yeah, talking to people, yeah, with yep. their papers.
I shared it on my Facebook page.
And I think that's the best way. All right, I think we can, we'll move on with this one because it's it is important. We need to get it out there, then we can still have it.
Sorry, just before we move on, sorry, Mr. Mayor. Sorry, I know, I'm sorry. With it on public exhibition, like during the consultation process, I believe some of the staff went down the street and talk to people. Will that happen again? This, like, maybe make a day where you can say, we're going to be in front of the, we're going to be at Renown Park on this day. Come and have a chat to us about the logo or the new branding process. Come and have a look and have a chat. Like, because I think some people like that idea too. Like, they might not see it in a shop or access it online, but you might be able to, like, actually draw other people in and have a talk. So I'm just wondering, is that part of the process as well, or can we sort of think about doing that?
Happy to do that.
Yep.
Sorry.
Mr. Mayor, can I just make one very quick comment? I think we should have a space shuttle inserted somewhere in those logos.
That's what I reckon, mate.
Sorry. I agree more. Just as these, if our staff go out and try to sell these ideas in the footpath, maybe we need August licence too.
I think I need a space shuttle to get around the shire. We'll
have to get development approval.
Can we sell lead balloons with that?
We're more than 150 metres away from anyone.
Righto, moving along. All those in favour?
Yeah.
Those against? Carry. Righto, page 293. This is right. This is the way we go. Alcohol prohibited area and alcohol-free zone for Albert. I would like to move that through. Councillor.
Move and agree.
Councillor Rees. Who's the seconder? Councillor Blewett. It's a women's day.
Hey. Alcohol free zone.
It's horrible over there after a night.
I know, it's a bit of a problem. So, any questions?
Mayor, can I just ask some? Mayor, it's been moved and seconded, but what's actually been moved and seconded is that to go with proposal number two and the recommendation where it's cleared and alcohol.
It's moved and seconded to speak.
But I was going to move to that one only. That was all, to number two.
He's speaking to it, isn't he? Are you moving to speak to it?
There's options for recommendations.
It's recommendation A adopted.
No, you can't have one.
Straight.
They sort of
no option.
They fit together.
Doesn't it just say council procedure?
Yeah, proposal. Yeah. And then put it goes on exhibition 28 days. And
then we come back and
Come back. Reports brought back.
Am I not understanding it right?
They're all
right. It's all under control.
Sequential things, the recommendations.
All right.
Hey, just a question on alcohol free zones. Means they can still buy like some stubbies at the hotel and walk but outside as long as they don't open them. Is that right?
Yep.
Mm. And once they're open, if the police come on, they can take the whole lot off once you've got one open. But once stubby open, they can take the whole six pack of the whole card.
Yep. And fine you.
And if they're abusive at the same time, they get copped again.
Essentially, I've read that as the police are also just seeking some additional stick that they can enforce over there, because at the moment there's nothing that
Their hands are tied.
Yeah.
And I think especially when they say from the publican as well.
Publican is supporting it, yeah, which is really right, yeah.
Councillor Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, through you. I understand and I agree with the idea
being proposed. What I'm not sure of is the law of unintended consequences, and that is, to do this, will that shift the problem to somewhere 1, 2, 5, 10 kilometres out of town, and then create a different problem where those people are then drinking and driving and actually causing and more damage. That's, you know, that's one of the problems that happens in other places with some of these ideas, is it shifts the problem to somewhere else, but it ends up being a bigger problem. I've always liked, and I know this is a problem there, but you know, I'd rather see them have an area where they can drink in public, but where it's actually policed, like an event, so that it's managed.
There's no police here, is there?
No, no. When I say police, it wouldn't necessarily be a lot of police. But
no, I know, but this is the problem, isn't it? Because there's no police at Albert. You have people going out there doing unruly things, and they got to come from Tottenham, don't they, to do any of the policing.
And this,
so that's the problem.
Bundle Tullamore.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They got to come from out of town to sort out the problems, which have, and sometimes they probably haven't bought their grog at the pub. They probably could have bought it in and just set up outside there and drank.
I understand all of those issues. I'm just wondering which is actually going to give the best outcome.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, Mark, either. It's just...
Because sometimes I think these just move the problem to somewhere else.
Well, the alcohol.
It's happened in another place I know where they did this and everyone started going to a place about 10K out of town, and then there was a whole bunch of fatal alcohol
accidents.
And it's got...
Well, the alcohol zones will work well in Cadogan, I believe. Solve a lot of problem there. And what you're talking about, okay, they buy the six-pack and they drive out the Gunbend Lake and drink it. Alcohol, you know, that's a problem out there. We need to make it an alcohol-free zone too, but yeah, but I think we don't have to.
The whole thing is, you know, like it's all that what you're talking about, what Councillor Hall and Council is talking about is it comes back to a police matter.
Right.
Yeah, the police actually have got to look after that. But what they're trying to do is, like an Albert there at the moment, is just giving them the power to be able to move people on and make things a bit more, as you can see, because this has been going on for quite a long time. And it's not actually the local people either. It's people coming from the east.
Right.
yeah, fair enough.
Coming through the problem there. So, but anyway, it's going out in 28 days and we'll see what submissions and that sort of thing. And it's even on our welfare council in Tottenham there. They will fully support what they are because we've got three people from Albert on there, locals. So we'll see how we go.
Tottenham actually doesn't have an alcohol-free zone, do they, at this stage?
Good people.
There's never been any problem there.
No problem there at this stage.
I ain't down the pub.
Well, down in Albert, they'll probably move to Tottenham.
No, the pub, I think the pub's been sold, so we'll see what happens. All right, all those in favour? Those against? Carried. Right, I'm moving on to page 304, development data for February 2021.
Move, Mayor.
Councillor.
Second up.
Phillips, Councillor Harris. Any questions on that data? It's all pretty straightforward, isn't it?
I want to know where they're getting their swimming pool from for $9,000.
$9,000.
Me too.
A good deal.
Especially if it's in Grant.
Plastic one. Yeah. All those in favour?
Haven't paid for the water yet.
So that's the other 9,400.
All those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? Carried. Righto, page 307, project monthly update for February and March. Someone like to move that recommendation?
That way.
Thank you, Councillor Harris, Councillor Phillips. Any questions on the update? All those in favour?
No.
Against? Carried. Right, now page 310, 9.6 is draft keeping of domestic animals policy.
Second the recommendation.
Harris and seconder.
Dave.
Councillor Carter. I think I know where's one question.
One. I have a lot of concerns with this in a lot of different areas. I think that what I need to do is just write a list and send it to our director.
Do that.
Some of the things that are in there just aren't clear. Like the difference between a breeder and an owner. There's no clarification of farmers working dogs that live in town because the farmer lives in town now rather than on the farm. I think there's issues around one other poultry per person, you know, ducks, geese and things like that. I think that no pigs is overly restricted. There's a lot of people these days that are going to these miniature pigs as pets and things. I don't see why they're not a problem. They're not dirty. They're not smelly. They're a smart animal. It's prohibiting sheep from the townships, and certainly at Lake there are every year lots of potty lambs being hand-fed by farmers who live in town because mum's rejected the lamb, so they're being hand-fed at home. I think there's a lot of things that need to be clarified and worked on this. Talking about pigs, I think it's the same with hoofed animals. If you go other places, the donkeys and that are now a very popular pet. Stinking noisy when they bray, though, which is a problem if they bray, but a lot of times they don't. But why say you can have a horse, but you can't have a mule or a donkey? I think they're overly restrictive. Same thing, the restriction to not have a stallion in town. Just like, if they're a noise problem, that's one thing, but just to say you can't have a stallion in town as opposed to a mare or a gelding doesn't
appear
to me. And the numbers as well. I mean, like, we've got some large blocks in Lake where people probably have four or five horses and they're not a problem. I mean, one of them is that brand new place out on Townsend Street. It's a big block, but it's technically part of the village. You're telling him he can't have his five horses on there. A lot of others, and of concern with that as well as the fact that there's no grandfather or sunset clause for those existing people in town either, and I think that's a failing.
Thanks, Mark.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. What we could do is defer the policy before we put it on exhibition and discuss it. We did try and discuss it at the last strategic briefing, but I think a lot of people were absent at that meeting, so we might bring it to the next meeting and try and talk through some of those issues before we put it on exhibition.
What? If there's no further comment, there's a mover and a second. Happy to.
Question.
Go on.
Johnny, who's going to actually control these plans? Mark's going on about a few chooks. We got turkeys and God only knows what in Reach Street. You know, there's not one, there's several. Is our park ranger going to control that?
You have double gobble to them.
Thank you, John.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, it would be our rangers. So at the moment, they're undertaking the management or the control of animals within village areas, and there are complaints received, and they've got no policy to back them up in terms of controlling those situations. That is the intention of the policy. The policy is not something where we're going to go out and try.
No, I understand that. No, I didn't think you ever would, but I don't think it's very easy being a sheriff when you're going to tell people you can't have this, you should have that, and don't do that.
It becomes even harder if we don't have a policy, though.
Most definitely. Yeah. I'll get a bigger sheriff page.
All right. Would you like to, the mover and second, are happy to leave it under strategic briefing so we can discuss this further?
Brilliant. Please.
Could I just make a comment also? I don't see anywhere in the policy about the keeping of mice. I think at the moment we've got a major issue and it's
just like the
mice as a domestic animal.
Well, they are at the moment, aren't they?
Voluntarily.
Inside too.
House.
Real domestic. Real domestic. On every resident in town.
You can keep them, Peter.
Yeah.
Sorry? Anybody can keep them off.
No discrimination. Having moved to the strategic briefing.
Yep.
All, all those in favour?
Aye.
Aye.
Carried. I'm going to page 330.7, Anzac Day Condable in 2021. Someone like to move the recommendation, please?
Second it.
Who was mover?
Peter.
Oh, Harrison Phillips again?
Again.
Want me to drop that word? Right, any discussion? What the RSL are asking us to do?
Well, I'm a bit confused.
Push your button, my dear.
I'm sorry. So I read it as they obviously want us as a council to organise the march, and I'm confused if they want the council to manage just the people in the march or the spectators as well, being that as a representative, you know, the majority of people in that march are schools who all have classroom teachers there walking with their kids who are quite effective at keeping them in their lines and carrying their banners and doing all that. Those people would essentially could take carriage of using the sanitizer and stuff like that. I'm just not sure what they want us to do. Is it just the people in the march or the people that stand on the street, or how does that work?
Well, John, fill us in.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, it's everything. So they actually don't want anything to do with any of the organisation of the march or any activities undertaken at Memorial Park.
Aren't they the RSL?
They said that they don't have the people power to undertake any activities with the COVID requirements in place. They don't have the people power to be able to manage any of those requirements.
Hmm. So what, is this one way of getting rid of the march from the state government? They want to get rid of marches, do they? So the best way to do it is...
This is a local branch.
But I mean, it's all over the state. You know, if you're going to have these marches everywhere, these requests, I'm sure, are not just coming from the Condo RSL. They'd be coming from RSL's sub-branches all over the state because of, you know, a lot of those people in the sub-branch are getting closer to 80 than they are to any other age and over. So there's not going to be a lot who could go out and do and man all this sort of stuff and do it and put out the chairs and... So it's just sort of trying to put an end to the marches or what? I don't know. To me, it seems they should be the ones doing it. They always have done it. But because of these restrictions that have been brought, mainly probably because of the city, not because of the country, it's going to affect us more than anywhere else in stopping the march from going ahead.
I'm going to use Topham as the example of what we do up there. Past about the last 20 years, I've done it. This time I'm handing it over to the Welfare Council, which because of the changes that are, because COVID is one of the problems, because especially with the march and the crowd, you need marshals depending on how many people you've got, estimate of going there, which I don't, is not that hard, really, but it's an organisation. You need an organisation there to do it, and it doesn't necessarily have to be the RSL. It could be any other organisation in Condobolin that does it, and that sort of thing. And I can understand where the RSL are coming from. And the hardest thing, but doing the application is not. It is hard, but it's not. You know, the staff here are quite willing to help you with that, work your way through it, and it's just something there which I think, you know, with especially with Condobolin, I don't know what Lake Angelico, who's doing it, what happens there.
Sub-branch, Johnny?
Yeah.
Sub-branch at this stage. What happens over there, they have the sub-branch. They then continue with the march at 11, I think it's approximately 11 a.m, which is again run by the RSL, but we have a very very good service with the ambulance, the police, volunteers. After the said march at 11 a.m, we put lunch on at the Memorial Hall. That's all done by volunteers. A lot of people donate foodstuffs, different things. But in saying that, what Dennis said, we have only one remaining World War II lake now.
We've got none.
Yeah.
Right, Councillor Reed.
Not I.
Oh, Councillor Burt, sorry.
Wrong, Will.
Going pretty well today, too.
So, is this how I'm... If we don't step in and help out, does this mean there'll be no march for no Anzac Day march for 2021 for Condoblin? Is that what this is happening? And
it's the march and the thing in the park, isn't it? The address on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
So my question is, if we or someone else doesn't step in or try and negotiate or go and talk with the RSL and see if they can maybe pair up with, I don't know, Rotary.
Back to do the chairs and everything at home. I forgot to mention.
I'm trying to find, like, could we have a meeting and say, well, what do you need? What are the problems? How can we help you, like, organise this? Like, you'd need a QR code, I'm assuming. Like, that's
easy.
Could we get that, put them up on posters and say, and you have to say to the crowd, you must sign in to have the march or we can't have it. Can you do it that way? Can we get together and have a talk about this? Because we're talking about not having the march, and that's okay if everyone doesn't want the march. I'm just trying to find solutions so we could probably possibly have the march because I know it's important to a lot of people.
Fine. Hang on. Who wants to go? Hang on. I'll get the general manager to go first, then John will fill in.
Yeah. I just want to say I'm concerned that this is the thin end of the wedge.
Oh, my.
Once we do it this year, it'll be council from this day forward because they're saying that the march and the event at the park, the function at the park is an event. They're not putting on events. So this will be ongoing if we agree to look after that function this year.
Okay. John. Sorry, hang on.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I did speak with the sub-branch to try and clarify some of the points from their email because I said, have you made approaches to the schools to try and get some volunteers, other community groups to try and get volunteers to assist? They said, no, we've approached council because we believe council has the appropriate people power to put this on. And if council wasn't to support it, then it would be unlikely that it would proceed.
So we get the blame.
Paul.
Thank you, Johnny. Just one might help the listener out a little bit. They do have all these, most kids and everybody's got, I'd say the exception would be the older people putting in the march or marching, we wouldn't have a mobile phone. They mostly got an app now, bingo, so it wouldn't take that long to do that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You don't have to do it under 16. So we just have to provide a list, which we do anyway as a school, because... other than our year 11 and 12 kids, they can't sign in for themselves. So all we've had to do with every other event we've hosted and have had to develop a COVID-safe plan with is we just keep a roll attached to that plan. It's all filed with the kids that were there. So if someone tests positive for COVID and they march in the Anzac March, we just pull out that COVID plan from that day. All these kids were here and they've got it within their 15-minute turnaround that they need contact details for. I don't think the issue lies with the people who are in the march. I don't think the issue lies with the people marching because the three main schools in town and then the external kids that march with the boarding schools, the SES, the pipe band, they would all have the ability to work out who's there. It's the spectators I foresee is the main issue. Like,
understand.
I could organise a march on my head to go from there to there and have all those people checked in and accounted for in a COVID plan that manages the march. It's our spectators. And I assume that's where their major issue lies with. It can't be with walking that far because that part of the plan is tight in terms of COVID considerations that, you know, you're separated from the people and rah, rah, rah. But it's got to be the spectator side of things that's proving difficult for them.
300 or 400 to turn up just to be there.
Yeah,
and
that's
they're
what I'm
the ones where it's going to be the problem where you have to go through and try and register them. And that's where they want the people from the Shire or somebody to be doing it.
But isn't it on the adults themselves? It's their job to register because.
Well, you do if you go to a restaurant.
Hang on there. Just we've got three people speaking and we've got a red light on there in front of Melissa.
Again, I know you said you've met with them and they've indicated whatever they've indicated, but I think it would be worthwhile going back and saying, is this the issue? Because
like they're saying, it's a spectator. Can someone help them out with getting a QR code so we could put up everywhere so people can sign in? Or does that not meet? I don't know what the COVID-19 guidelines around Anzac Day are. Like, I have no idea how tight they are or if we just need the QR code. But I think the community would be on board if you said to them, you need to sign in to attend the march. Right.
And I would imagine.
And if we can get that and become part of the solution instead of just going, oh, we're going to have to do it year on year. I'm not saying do it year on year. I'm just saying, let's see how much we can help before we just go give it up and say, that's it, we're not doing the march.
Thank you. John, fill that in.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. So the Minister of Health, New South Wales Minister of Health, has issued an exemption to the public health order for Anzac Day. However, there needs to be a nominated organiser. And I believe that the sub-branch does not want to be the nominated organiser. The nominated organiser of the Anzac Day March or service must develop and comply with a COVID-19 safety plan, and each person participating in the Anzac Day March or service must provide their name, telephone number and email address to the nominated organiser and take reasonably practical steps to comply with the COVID-19 safety plan developed by the nominated organiser. So it's that responsibility of being the nominated organiser that I believe is the issue.
But I would assume the RSL, like National RSL or whatnot, have provided a sample COVID-19 plan because we get them for everything else. And you just have to adjust it for your area.
Yeah. Mm. You've only got to apply for it.
Simply. It takes 3 minutes to get a QR code. I had to get the rugby club's one last week.
No drama.
That's what I'm saying. Meet with...
Councillor Bendall.
The Welfare Committee's organising at Tottenham. The Progress Association at Tully is doing it. Is there somewhere where the Chamber of Commerce here could sort of take over?
I've been on many performances.
One
that I know.
Is there something like that that can take charge of the organisational part of the council?
Just hang on. John.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I did ask the sub-branch whether they had made those, calls to put out to, I said, have you approached any community organisations? Have you approached the schools to look for volunteers, help you to be the nominated organiser? The response was that they didn't want to take on that responsibility and that they wanted council to do that. I guess if...
Sounds like they don't want it.
It's to be a decision whether the council wants council officers to approach the sub-branch to try and stem that gap, but that's putting additional work on council.
Can I make a suggestion of the fact that the council, not organise it, but the officers actually approach RSL and asking them to, like, coming up with people to actually ask to do the organising for them. Can we do that?
And can we also add that, like Mrs. Bendall just said, the Chamber of Commerce, like just tell them what's going on, like start putting the feelers out there and say, look, this is what's going to happen. We won't have a march. Can someone help out? And if no one can help out, then we don't have a march. But if we don't try, I think we have to try. That's all I'm saying.
I just want to put
another group.
Yes,
there's another.
Another organisation.
Just put the word out there.
Yeah.
I'd just like to put a point three down there that we actually nominate, try and organise another.
That's what I'm saying. Like, instead of just putting our hands in the air and going, nothing to do with us, let's try and do something, even though we can't do it as an organisation ourselves, but we might be able to coordinate something or help get someone to help coordinate something.
I agree with that.
I don't think we can just not run it.
Council Mooney.
Can't not try is what I'm saying.
That they don't the
RSL. That's pathetic. Because we're basically telling the council, the RSL, that we're not doing it. Need to approach an organisation that the directors approach, whether it's the Chamber of Commerce, whether it's the SES, or whether whatever it may be.
Putting the feelers out there to see if someone would like to help.
That's right.
Whatever.
I honestly believe there'd be a team of people that would come together and
blackmail.
I'd be very surprised if there wasn't. But anyway, I think with what we've got there now, the recommendation with point three, that the directors try and locate some local input into it, because I think the rest of the show is fine.
Why don't you go one further? You mentioned the directors helping. Why don't you address John Mr. Red up with General Patton looks the same, he's aggressive.
Oh, Jesus.
No, he will.
You just put a cap on him.
Car club.
All right.
It might be a bit controversial, but with the, you know, maybe the sub-branch RSL might be willing to, if one of the community groups in town was willing to take the responsibility on, maybe the sub-branch would be happy to make some sort of a donation towards the them doing it. So that acts as a fundraising for some of the local groups that might be interested in doing it for that reason.
Councillor Booth, please.
It's just occurred to me that clearly they're going to have to do all the COVID plan, the QR codes, and have marshals for the 5 a.m. dawn service.
Can't they transfer?
Like, I'm just not sure. Like, if they're happy to do all that work, legwork, you know, a COVID plan, a QR code, signing people in, sanitising at 5:30 a.m. for a dawn service, there's not that much other than the crowd, but it's. Are they going every to... dawn service, yeah, they've said in their email they're going to run the dawn service.
Yeah, but are they going to do that?
Well, they have to, technically.
They should. But are they going to? Otherwise, why are they giving this away to somebody else to do?
Well,
we're not giving it away.
Like, I'm concerned about that if they're not going to involve COVID protocols at the dawn service, because my understanding is if you designate there'll be a dawn service, you have to register that with the state RSL, which means you would have to send through all your stuff to them. Because every dawn service, and obviously we didn't have one last year, but they were just getting bigger and bigger.
They were.
And bigger, which was fabulous to see. But like all of that stuff's already had to have been developed for that, and it's probably more an uncontrolled environment because you don't have the marches that you know.
Oh, yeah, just people standing around. Yeah.
Sorry, that just occurred to me when I was reading the email that clearly they've had to lodge it and do all the stuff for the dawn service. So maybe if that is done, if they're not willing to run the march, then all of that stuff is provided to whoever's running it so they can work off the same QR code and the same COVID plan with just adjustments for the 10 a.m. march.
Is there any problem about that? So anything more than that, John?
Yeah. I was just
gonna... what was it?
Sorry. Through you, Mr. Mayor, I was just going to say that I think that they rely on some of the RSL staff to assist with or club staff to assist with the event that's actually held in for dawn service, whereas the march and the service down at Memorial Park, they couldn't have those staff and leave the club to work as part of that as well. So that's where the issue is.
Yeah, I would have thought, I think the organisation that's actually going to be helping, I would have thought would go right across the board, whether it's the march, the dawn service, the service down there, but I think you've only approached some of these organisations to find out, because I think once the public realise that they haven't got, not happening, I'd say something will happen.
Yeah.
But
at the normal dawn service, it's just people just turn up.
Yeah.
So there's nobody
on a register.
You don't get people from the club to come down. Everyone just turns up for the dawn service. So I know this has all changed, but I mean, this is what happened in 2018, everyone I went to over the years, you just turn up, and every dawn service the last 4 or 5 years has been getting bigger and bigger.
Happen like that.
Eh?
Can't happen like that.
But that's what I think they might, I know it can't happen, but that's what I'm just saying, maybe they are still under that.
Right. I think we've got a recommendation here, so if all those in favour, those against, carried. Right, moving right along, please. And we're going to page 369. Am I right? No, I'm not. 334. Page
334,
I am.
The Railway Hotel.
The Railway Hotel landowner sent a request for development application. I'd like to move the recommendation, please. Councillor Bendall. Councillor Phillips.
Councillor Rees.
Oh, Councillor Rees with us.
It's fine. Miss Bendall can have
working.
It.
I wasn't see the lips.
We need
Councillor Rees and Councillor Phillips.
Right. I should make some.
Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Carter, you want to say something?
Yeah.
I'll let you in now.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Just in regards to that, if that annex is approved, that Randa, the extension of Randa, does that actually disadvantage pedestrians then? Because given the footpath trade policy, that they would then, I assume, be able to have tables or chairs, or people may be able to drink within 1 metre, or be standing, maybe smoking, talking, whatever. within 1 metre. So are they going to put the general public at a disadvantage would be the question.
Potentially, and that would be determined and taken into consideration with a development application when it was being assessed. There could be conditions applied to an approval that could mitigate the impact on pedestrians. For instance, we might request that the curb and gutter be relocated to facilitate additional walkway area on the shoulder of the road, and that the signage be changed to parallel parking rather than 45 degree rear to curb would be a solution to allow it to happen and let pedestrians get past. But this report is just saying, are we happy to give consent to the development application being lodged?
Nope.
Not to determining the development application.
It's just like
the short answer or the long answer?
Mr. Mayor, I just...
Everyone can have a say.
Yeah, when the consideration is given to it, I just think that real serious consideration needs to be given to the fact that that new bridge is a line out the front here. So those trucks over harvest time, outside of harvest time even, indeed, they go up and down. There's a lot of truck movements up and down that area. So I just hope that that's, all councillors plus the staff consider those things when making a decision.
I'll just go back to what the general manager said. This is, like what you're deciding on is whether you're going to give consent so they can make an application, make a DA.
They haven't made an application yet.
No.
That's right.
And we go back just to let them do it, isn't it?
That's right.
That'd all be at their cost, obviously, if they want to extend the bridge.
But we'll find all that out once they put the DA in. But if you, we want to know now whether this council is happy for them to put a DA in.
Yeah.
So
thank you.
We've got a move and a seconder.
You want this to, is
want to vote?
Let everyone have their say.
All right, Councillor Hall.
I'm really confused, honestly. Them putting up a.
I haven't yet.
An area to drink. Adjacent to the road on the footpath that we own is in violation of every other policy we have for people doing things, and putting people drinking adjacent to the roadway, blocking pedestrian access, not saying anything about the house that's next door. I think that this idea would put council into more liability than anything I've ever seen. But for drunk accidents, claims of harassment, anything else, if they want to extend that, I think they ought to close their driveway on that side of the road to their car park and put that inside their building line. Not on the roadway. It's insane to me.
Anyway, they've got to do the DA.
Right, any further?
If it goes in as a development application, can we suggest that it gets moved within the boundary line?
Can I just, aren't we just giving them permission to put in a DA?
That's right.
And then when they put the DA in, and then
you can do all the arguing you like.
Yeah. All the arguing you like. This is just giving permission to the railway to put in. They haven't actually applied for it yet.
No.
So this is just giving permission for them to apply, put a DA in. And when they put the DA in, then we can say, no, go to buggery, you're not going to get it, and go from there.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? That's we're not actually approving a DA, we're just approving for them to put a DA in.
I might just ask John to comment. Hang on. Let's just John comment on that one, please.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, that is part of the recommendation that further report be presented to council for determination of the development application. If the proposal continues to utilise part of the road reserve for the development, obviously as part of the development application process, we can try and persuade the applicant to move that component into their boundary, but they've obviously got a desire to put it in that location. The only thing that I would say is that providing landowner's consent is not saying that we're going to approve the development application, and we'll need to make that clear to the applicant.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Right.
Is there any other further comment? Because I think unless you... Councillor Harris.
Sorry, I just agree with the fact that, I think everyone should have the opportunity to put in a development application.
That's right.
And then be heard. That's right. And secondly, I'd like to say too, if someone could encourage people down there on Molong Street to actually use a footpath, I would be extremely happy.
Yeah.
No one uses that footpath except the next door neighbour who walks out the front door. Yeah. No one uses it. They all walk down the middle of the road, across the road, through the road, round the road. They don't use that footpath. We can work out a way to get people to use a footpath. It'd be a very exciting day. I'm constantly dodging pedestrians on the road with my push bike, car, etc. So
that's not just Molong Street either. But, that's not.
What if Councillor Phillips?
Mr. Mayor, I think it's a little unfair to lodge a DA and plans and specifications. Does all cost money. I think maybe we could go back to the applicants and say, do you really want to go ahead with this? Because most likely
get knocked out.
Mightn't get through. I don't know, John, how to refo that in any other way. That's just my simple terms, that's all.
Councillor Hall.
And could we be just a little bit clearer? The purpose of this report is to seek landowners' consent from the council for the lodgement of a DA which involves part of the road reserve. No. You know, that's no. Do they want to put in a DA to put that thing inside their building? Yes. To put it on the road reserve? No. It breaks every one of our rules.
They still can apply for it, Mark.
But that's just taking money on false pretenses to let them apply for a DA that we're going to say no to. That's ridiculous, isn't it?
I disagree. I mean, that's what.
I don't understand that.
But we don't. Can I just say, we don't. Not like.
Hang on. Mark, turn your thing off, mate. Lisa.
Our power's not on over here.
Oh, that's
because
you're not plugged in.
Yeah,
just.
Oh, no, that'll do it.
Can I just?
Yeah, quick.
I understand his concerns, but I just think I'm the same as Councillor Harris. I think everyone should have the opportunity to put forward their idea and come to council. Whether or not we can just.
No one will get up.
No, I know, but we can't say that it's not going to get passed either. We can't make a decision here today. Like, Councillor Hall's saying we're going to say no. Well, I don't know I'm going to say no right now. So I'm not sure whether we can change the wording a little bit so Councillor Hall's more comfortable with it. But I just think everyone should have the opportunity to put forward their DA to council. And if they get rejected and they choose to take that opportunity, then that's their responsibility.
Yep. I think once the DA goes in to whether it's it's on the footpath or whether, because when you assess it, in what the changes that need to be done, and also talk to the applicant and see what comes out of that, then we'll make a decision on top of that. Simple as that. Right. Councillor Harris.
Yeah, just a supplementary. I mean, the thing that worries me too is that, and I don't want to get bogged down in history, is that council has had some inflammatory issues at times with the previous development with the railway, and I don't think by just saying no, you can't put a development application now, is not going to help council's reputation at all.
Not likely.
Peter, I think it should be explained on that it's going to cost money too, though. Yeah.
Surely they know.
Well, that's the first thing they ask. They should do. I might just ask the general manager.
Okay.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I was just going to point out that the existing development there already occupies the footpath and road reserve and is used for the purposes of the proposed extension as well.
Thank you.
Rightly or wrongly, that's been the practice, and it's basically an extension of the existing arrangements is what they're seeking to do.
All right. I think we've had a pretty good thing on. All those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? It's carried.
And I'd like my objection recorded, please.
Certainly can. Councillor Carter? Same?
Yes, same.
That's carried. Righto. Moving along to.
It's got to go in now, and then we'll reassess it then.
That's it.
That's right.
It'll come back to us again.
Now, those who are speaking against will be able to speak up again.
Yep, they certainly will. Righto, now to page 336, proposed planning amendments for agriculture, Lachlan. Uh, Lock, Lachlan Local Environment are planned for 2013. Someone would like to move it?
Yes.
Councillor Hall, is it?
Yes.
Second.
Second to Councillor Harris. Comments, please.
It's a great idea to allow flexibility for farmers to supplement their income with farm gate activities.
All right. You want to say some more?
Yep. No, Johnny, I just want to went off again.
It went off.
Right,
it went off.
334.
Any other further comment? I think I'm quite happy with the flexibility and everything.
Yeah.
Right. All those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? All those in favour again?
Aye.
Those against? That's carried. All right. Moving on to page 352, Paul.
Thank you, John.
10. Infrastructure. Thanks, John.
Goodness.
Have a report like that again, please. Infrastructure services, roadworks monthly update for February. Someone like to move the
recommendation? Second.
Who was the first one?
Dennis.
I did.
Councillor Brady.
I forgot my name.
Thank you for what? Councillor Phillips. All right, comments? Yes, Councillor Blewett.
Just, not sure how to put this, so I'm just going to ask it. With our extensive rainfall that we've had, like 6 inches within the last week, basically, in some areas, I'm just a bit concerned. I know we struggle to keep up with our roadworks as is, but now some of the roads are going to have substantial damage. I'm just wondering, will they now be reprioritised, or how is that all going to work? Because I know some roads are just will be basically impassable again, and I know it's no fault of council or the employees. I'm just wondering how we're going to sort of navigate that.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, great question, Councillor. Council staff are going around and assessing the damage to different parts of the road network. We have already spent significant amount of our rural road maintenance budget, so we are mindful to stick to that budget. However, public health and safety is also a factor to be considered, and we are collecting data to see whether it's possible that council can apply for a natural disaster declaration to complete these repairs. So.
Good. Thanks. That answers your question, Councillor Blood?
Yes, that's fine. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor.
Dennis?
What? Somebody else?
I'd like to hear from you. Please speak.
Hey? Please. Push the button.
You're up
there. No, you could wait. You wait. You should wait online and announce you. But anyway.
Sorry, sir. I didn't
announce Dennis.
Oh, very sorry. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Adrian, just going on what Councillor Blood said about roads have been damaged. There'll probably be a lot of roads which will be, you know, which aren't in your funding. But we have to then, all the other flooding, will there be hopefully more funding that we can get to fix those roads? And are you going out and checking those roads, you know, like my old road, the North Condo, damage up there because there'll be flooding, localised flooding will be coming through from the Goobang, from where it does. There's quite a few places where washes away. So I just, you know, and there are other roads, you know, which will be in the same state. So how are we going to get to fix them? Look, how many years has it taken to fix the West Wyland Road? It's just a...
I'll get Adrian to ditto the same again, please, mate.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Lachlanshire has an interesting water catchment system in that we do experience runoff, which has affected some roadworks and some roads right now during the rain event. And then in a few weeks' time, we'll get the flows down the Goobang and the Lachlan. And they will, any damage done to the council's road network will be assessed and all put together in an application for natural disaster funding if we reach that threshold. And I can't answer the question of how much money or what the damage will be until after the event subsides. So... there is also the difference between a few potholes being formed because of wet weather and big washouts and gouges. And that's an important distinction. And fixing a few potholes and a bit of rough road does not qualify for a natural disaster declaration. It's only when significant damage occurs to roads and bridges that is claimable under that funding.
Thanks, Adrian. I think Sorry, Brian.
Adrian, just probably staff are that busy this time, but usually we get an email saying the roads are closed to vehicles over 3 tonne and this road's closed and that way is closed or whatever. And we haven't got that this time, so there's been no information to come to council. I know it's been covered a bit on the media and that, but I just wondered, I presume it might have been just because your staff are too busy to type that in.
Thanks, Adrian. Off you go.
I'm sorry, councillor, updates have been going out.
Not to our emails, eh?
Looked at the distribution list and make sure that you're on there. But we have been circulating to all media outlets. And
the media have been getting it. We haven't this time. Just somebody has to push the right button, that's all.
I'll have to check that, councillor. So sorry about that.
Right, there's no further questions. Oh, sorry, councillor Phillips.
Mr. Mayor, would you announce one? Thank you.
Councillor Phillips, Deputy Mayor.
You got one up there, Main Road 231, and I see you've been working on it. The question is, you've got widening and resealed south of the lake. Very good, it certainly needs it. When you say widening and resealed, is that a complete reseal as per up further south, or was just done between the edges? 231. You're working on there now, eh?
I believe, councillor. Sorry.
Hey, mate, I got mine.
The mayor wishes for me to answer that. I will. I believe that is just sealing of the shoulders. I think the central seal on that is able to hold together until we get a full reseal over the whole width.
Thank you, Adrian.
Thanks, Adrian. Right. I think there's no more questions. All those in favour? I might just ask for a 5-minute break so you can have a cup of tea and walk. Move right into it again.
We have to close now. No.
Get.
It won't make.
We'll be there. We won't be far away from it. Beautiful. Right, now page 363, 10.2, recreation monthly update for February. Someone like to move that, please?
Yep.
Away.
Councillor Rees, second of Councillor Carter. Any issues, complications, whatever, comments on the recreation? All those in favour?
All right.
No, this gets carried. Didn't want to say anything, Adrian, did it?
No, it's all on the report.
Page 369, 10.3, utilities monthly update for February. I'd like to...
Yeah, I'll move that.
Councillor Brady, Councillor Harris. Got any issues or... the update on the utilities. Happy Adrian might make comment. Thank you. Didn't I have that on? Right.
I'll put those in.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just some additional information that's come to council since this report was written. The bore testing was delayed due to the wet weather, and it's unclear exactly when that will be able to commence. The funding body is beginning to express concerns to Public Works and to Council about this project and the cut off for the funding by June 2022. And so we are working with Public Works and the funding body in order to make sure that this project will be delivered, or at least part of it will be delivered before the funding cut off arrives. So we're working closely with them.
Well, thanks, Adrian, for that update. But they're going to make things a bit tight by the sound of it. Right, moving right. Any further questions on that? All those in favour?
Yep.
Against, carried. Right, moving to page. This page 374, and to the request to transfer a Crown Road for property access. Would someone like to move this recommendation, please? Right. Councillor Harris, second to Councillor Bendall. I might just ask Adrian, do you want to people know what's happening here?
Not a problem, Mr. Mayor. In the report, it mentions that this councillor's been approached by a landowner to take over the ownership of a Crown Road. There's information in the report around costs associated with that. The matter is complicated because the Crown Road is shared between the Bogan and the Lachlan Shire. Bogan Shire have indicated, well, their Director of Infrastructure, Director of Engineering, my apologies, has indicated that the Bogan Shire has officially declined the landowner's request previously. And it's mentioned in the report that consensus should be required between councils if council is to respond positively to the landowner's request. So see the recommendation there in the report.
So, through you, Mr. Mayor, so Adrian, what it means is we're not going anywhere because Bogan won't give permission, so we can't do it. So we're not going anywhere. But so these people are still putting up with a crack, are they, to get into there? What would happen if they then ask for access from Bogan Shire, just through Bogan Shire? Because their property goes right up close to them. Ask Bogan Shire to give them access.
I'll point you to attachment one. Councillor, the box are highlighted. There is no direct road access that's possible. This is the only access to the, is the only legal access other than negotiating with an adjacent landowner for a right of way.
Okay.
So,
yes, all.
Yeah, just on that, when you look at the map on page 376, it looks like, is that just the Shire boundary or is there a paddock boundary from the Bogan Shire Road in yellow straight down to the
that's what I was getting
to the corner of Hotbush? I think that's probably what Councillor Brady was looking at, which would be a distance of 200 or 300 metres. You see what I'm talking about? If you go straight down on that diagonal.
But I thought, why couldn't they give them access away?
It seems that would make a lot more sense than all the kilometres the other way.
So is that the area there?
Hang on.
Something?
Can you turn your buzzer off, please? You want to answer that first, Adrian?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. The alignment shown is the gazetted road reserve. All other land is private, either private land or other land. So, sorry, it's all private land, I should say. The details within the Bogan Shire are not clearly shown there, but that is private land there. And what is shown in the green and the red is the road corridor that is gazetted as road corridor.
Understand that. Make a new one. Well, it's a bit of an issue. Brian, did you want to say something? Press your button, mate.
I think, like, I've seen about three of these go through Shires in my time, and one case, the reasonable access was, of course, private land property changed names, and there was a clash there, and they weren't allowed out. So council had a look at the road reserve to let these people in. And I think this is what. Developing the road is something we have to do to a certain degree. But if we take Crown takes it over, we've got to do something to develop it, just to, like you said, to remove the trees and do a greater formation, I think. But yeah, it's got to be careful that with doing this, that we don't lock somebody out access to their property altogether. And for the Crown Reserve, if it remains in the Crown, they've still got access, haven't they? So they want us to take it over so we can build the road, which is, I would like to think it was within the council's reckoning. Everybody else has had a road over the years, and I've seen, I think, about three of these happen in the Shire in my time on here. So I think really we should look at trying to do that. Obviously, build the road, do the road as economically as possible. You don't have to remove all the trees and just grade it up.
You want to, and Mr. make any further comment on that, Adrian? Because
Mr. Mayor, can I just make comment?
About it.
Was there an agreement in place some time ago at the ALR or the Aboriginal Land Right Act 83, was amended or something rather, where if councils no longer wanted Crown land, it's to be offered to the Aboriginal community to the local Aboriginal Land Council or something?
I'm not aware of any such agreement. That's not to say it doesn't exist, but I'm just not aware.
It does exist. I don't really know if it's just so.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor,
handing it over.
Anyway. Review, this is just a comment, but quite a few years ago, we tried to straighten out our boundary up there. And if we'd straightened out our boundary, we wouldn't have this problem, but Noganshire wouldn't come to the party and strike us. It used to go around big properties, was the reason why these boundaries. It just seems it's hard on the people who own this. And if Noganshire won't give permission, well, it's not much sense. What can we do? So it's stuck.
Quite right. And the reason why the Noganshire didn't want to relinquish is because of kilometres. It comes down to funding.
I can understand their rent, but it was bad because that originally whoever designed the Shire, that was a terrible.
Oh, it's a terrible shape. I
couldn't read them out.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, we could straighten it out today, it'd be great, but I don't think it's going to make a difference. Yeah.
Can you fix the road if they pay for it? Like if the landholder agrees to pay for the formation of the road, can one of the shires do it?
It might be battling there too.
Hang on. Sorry for the question.
Adrian. Consent would need to be granted from the Crown to do the works, and they do that regularly. We would need to make it very clear that we would do the work as a private works rather than council funding. Because as the moment that we spend council money on that land, then it would be assumed that we own it.
That's right.
And that would be fraught with danger. But if it was done as private works,
that's what I'm asking.
Essentially the landowner is engaging us as a contractor to do works.
Have we broached the landholder about that possibility? Instead of being locked out of the thing because of, instead of being locked out of basically their land because two shires can't agree on how to do it, basically, if we approach the landholder, and they might say no, and that's the end of it. But, I mean, has anyone asked the landholder, would they be willing to engage one of the shires as a private contractor to maybe try and get a better access, even if it's not a full access, but a better access to the property for them?
As I see the situation, that's not the issue. The issue is the landowner doesn't want to pay for it.
That's it.
Okay. That's okay.
End of story.
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you for explaining it to me.
I think he can just bulldoze it himself.
Yeah,
that's right. They do.
That's right. Yep. All right. I think we've. I think the issue is pretty. Is this has been hanging around for quite a long time. This one.
Yeah.
And it's also neighbours are not actually working real well together either. So it's another story.
There's no cooperation anywhere.
A lot of cooperation.
So if we do nothing, it'll remain by the Crown, and that won't change. They'd have to.
Yep.
Approach the Crown, and then the other ones want to approach the Crown to buy it and lock him out. Well, then the person could put a submission. You can't do that because I would not have access out.
That's right.
That's the sort of thing you go on. Yeah.
I think. I think I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carry. I'll
be against it. I think we should give them a road, but we're not going to be able to do it when this bogan comes on.
You want to record it or not?
Oh, no, not this is you. No.
That is against. All right. Deputations? No deputations? No. Notice of motions. I didn't have any notice of motions. 13 notices of rescission. So I haven't got any rescissions. Now to page 379. Delegates reports, Country Mayors Association. Would someone like to move?
I'll second that, Mr. Mayor.
So Brady, certainly the general manager and I, and we're actually voted in, see by the report.
Yep.
And it's certainly a different atmosphere when the country mayors get together compared to what.
Sounds like we're going back to the Alf Shires Association.
That's how this come about.
We should de-amalgamate from local government because they're not getting what we get from it.
As you can see through the report there, a lot of things we've talked about today are being talked about at the country mayors there.
Yep.
All right, all those in favour?
All right.
Against? It's carried. Right, now to page 394, mining and energy related meeting. Someone like to move the recommendation?
Yep.
I'll second that for Mark.
Councillor Brady. Do you want to say anything, Councillor Hall?
Look, the information is...
Press your button, man.
the information is all there. The ongoing issue for running an interrelated councils is all of the work that's being done with these renewable energy zone declarations for wind and solar. There is quite an issue in our area, except it's not in our area, that the RES, which is basically north of Dubbo, is called the Arana Central West RES, and it's got nothing to do with the Central West as such, is governmentally defined, as opposed to the amorphous term Central West. Originally, it was called the Central West RES, and they've said, oh, okay, it's Arana Central West, but it isn't. It's only Arana. And that will have an impact if anyone in Central West in the future actually potentially wants to put in a solar farm and things, because they're going to say, oh, but you're already in a zone. And no, we're not. And that needs to be fixed. Just the name. It needs to be clarified, because otherwise we get knocked out of things in the future. But the bigger issue for us is this ancient, whatever it is, 50 kVA single power line that we really need to get everyone advocating on to get fixed, to get onto the proper 210 or 220 kVA network, whatever it is, because that's already, I think, lost a solar farm here in Condo. But that's going to be an ongoing issue from the day forward, much less just the whole issue of being on that single line and having any break in that whole line, knocking everyone's power out. We really need something for that. That's really what's looking, the Mining and Energy Rated Councils are really working on that, and they're really working on this mining rating thing, arguing against
change.
We were talking about this morning and the changes of rating to make mining like businesses, because it's going to have disastrous effects for numerous councils. So that's where things are with the interrelated councils.
Thanks, Mark. Just ask Mark a question. I see one of the long-standing councils has resigned from the organisation. Why, Mark?
There's a giant tempest in a teacup there. That council has decided, and it's councillors, and the mayor and GM are totally against the decision, but it was a majority decision, that because Mining and Energy Related Council have gone into renewable energy, that they're putting that in front of mining, and particularly in that area, coal, which is not true. There's some really advocative people on that council.
Well, coal miners always had a lot of say on the Mining Related Council.
So, it's a real balance. It's a real issue that's coming up.
I know when I used to go to those meetings, the coal miners used to try and overtake the whole meeting virtually, even though they didn't take notice of the other minerals.
I keep speaking of pressure button.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say, when I used to be a delegate to it, that was the problem we used to have. And of course, the other thing is subsidence. Talking about now another mine going to be expanded in the Illawarra, where it's a big subsidence problems down there. And one of the councils used to be on that organisation when I was there, had a legal battle going over subsidence of his own home, and he had to resign. He used to come along just as a observer. And that is a big problem everywhere, you know. Even in Forbes, West Wyalong, you're going to have subsidence because the old mine shafts are underneath the main street, they're underneath places. But getting back to...
Can we move on with this?
Yeah. Okay. No, look, the mine-related councils, as far as I'm concerned, is a very good organisation and does a lot of research and work that a lot of people don't realise. And I hope we don't ever resign from it, because...
Thank you. Totally agree with it. And especially with the development happening around here, I think it's important we keep going, especially with some of the issue we're having at the moment with our rates and that sort of thing. All right. All those in favour?
No.
Against? Carried. Now page 403, 14.3, Central New South Wales Organisation.
Here's the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Harris. Seconder. That's the hall. That meeting was held down in Blaney, as you can see by the report. And there's just one thing I will mention there, that the RDA, Ruth Fagan, from the councillor from Cara, she is now the the chair of that particular board, and which I actually used to work with in Western Division, and also we had a what do you call it, a workshop on telecommunication and that sort of thing, which went over pretty well. I had about 40 odd people come to that, and that question and answer type situation, which was quite good. But it's all there in the report. If there are no questions, all those in favour?
Aye.
Against is carried. Right, now correspondence on page 416, 15.1 correspondence report for March. Would someone like to receive? Councillor.
Second.
Was it? Second, Councillor Harris. See the report on Mel Pavey, read the our water issue with Gumbos. So it's an ongoing issue, mm-hmm. and that which something we'll be thinking outside the square, hopefully, to try and resolve that for the future. But we'll keep in contact with. But all those in favour?
Yep.
Questions in which notice has been given, I have nil, and there are no petitions being handed in at the moment. Would someone like to move that we move in the
yes.
closed session? Resolutions out of closed session, and the first one was 18.1. Undetected water leak assessment 1003210. Moved Councillor Hall, seconded Councillor Bendall, that one, the Director of Corporate and Community Services report number R21-18 be received and noted. Two, the Council reject the request to reduce water consumption charges on the basis that it would contravene the adopted undetected water leak and faulty water meter policy and expose Council to an unknown number of future claims. Three, Council reject the request for additional collator amounts on both outside of Council policy and advise that the ratepayer to consider an application under the hardship policy. Four, Council not extend the water main in Cunningham Street, and that's carried. Resolutions 18.2, the update of the Cyber Security Action Plan, moved to Councillor Hall, seconded Councillor Bendall. One, that the Director of Community Services report number R21-49 be received and noted. Two, Councillor note the updated cyber security action plan, and that was carried. Next report 18.3, the provision of youth services from the 1st of July 2021. It was moved Phillips, seconded Dave Carter, Councillor Carter, that one, that the Director of Corporate Community Services report R21-52 be received and noted. And two, a fixed price selective tender process under section 166B of Local Government General Regulations 2005, by which invitations to tender for a particular proposed contracts are following the public advertisement asking for expressions of interest, be utilised for the procurement of a youth services provider. This proposed contract be for a four-year term from the 1st of July 2021, and four, that the expressions of interest are for a dual or single provider model to be invited for their delivery of youth services in the Lachlanshire Council area, and that was carried. 18.4, the audit engagement plan was moved to Deputy Mayor Paul Phillips, seconded Councillor Brady, that one, the Director of Corporate and Community Service report R21-46 be received and noted, and that was carried. 18.5, tender 2021-1, supply and installation of ground mount solar PV and battery storage of Lake Angelico water filtration plant. Was moved Deputy Mayor Phillips and seconded Councillor Harris, that one, the Director of Environment, Tourism and Economic Development report number R21-50 be received and noted. Two, the tender of Macquarie Energy Private Limited for the construction of a 240 kW solar PV array and 100 kWh/100 watt battery storage at the Lake Angelico water treatment plant for the price outlined on table one of this report be accepted. And three, that the mayor and general manager be authorised to sign the construction contract for this project and affix the council seal to any contract documents. And that was carried. And that was the end of that. So, and I think this is any other items we need to speak about. I might declare the meeting closed, and if there's any other items you wish to bring, we'll discuss them outside there. So, thank you.
Well done, that man.